Welcome to the Faith Life Fellowship Podcast with Dr. Scott Forrest. We hope that you enjoy today's message and that it blesses your life.
Maybe the shortest ever message I've ever preached here. Of course, I said that a couple messages ago when I went for 40 minutes. I won't do that to you today, I promise you. I've just got something that's just been rolling around in my spirit ever since I came across it in my daily reading. I have a little daily reading plan that I made up that works for me because it involves math. So I just happened to be reading Psalm 92 as a part of my daily reading. And I want to read it to you, and then I'll tell you the title of the sermon. Well, it's up there. I'm busted. I forgot it's up there. We're going to talk about being planted and flourishing. Being planted and flourishing. So Psalm 92:13 is our base text. In the New King James Version, it says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Sounds kind of generic. It sounds kind of fluffy, right? Well, I'm going to break it down for you and tell you that it's really an awesome scripture because I've been meditating on it for 2.5 days. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. First of all, if you read the context of this verse, it's talking about the righteous. Those are the righteous. And if you're a born-again Christian, you are the righteous, whether you realize it or not. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, you're all familiar with this. You should be. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, which never before existed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians 5, 21 is even more amazing. It says, "He," that is God, "he made him to be sin for us," that is Jesus, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. We are righteous, but we're only righteous if we specify that we're righteous in him. Amen. Inside of you, in your spirit, man, you're as righteous as you're ever going to get. It's like this. It's the deal of the universe. Jesus said, "I'm going to take all your sin, and I'm going to give you all my righteousness." What a deal. Amen. Say yes to that deal. It's the deal of the century, the deal of the universe, the deal of the ages. So I just wanted to make that clear. Those are talking about the righteous, okay? So what this scripture says to me is this. The born-again ones, the righteous ones, who decide that they're going to be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It's a decision you have to make to be planted in the house of the Lord. And I believe that the courts mentioned here represent the various places within the house of the Lord where your gift can grow and flourish. It's like you're in a majestic house and it has several porches, covered porches, and there are plants out there that are planted out there because they can grow best there. They can flourish there. They can bloom there. Amen. That's the way I think about this. You know, interestingly enough, the Hebrew word translated here as house literally means a family house. A family house. So when you got born again, you literally became a member of the family of God. And the place where the family of God meets on a regular basis is the local church. That's God's design. We're a part of the worldwide church because we're all connected by the Spirit of God. But there is a place where you should meet. Amen? Whether it's a house church, a church facility, or whatever, it's the place where your church family meets on a regular basis. Everybody with me so far? And if you're serious about growing and developing in the gifts and callings that God has placed upon your life, you will plant yourself in a good local church and let God begin to flourish your gifts. The Hebrew word translated as flourish, get this, this blew me away. Flourish means to grow, to bloom, to flower, to spread your wings and fly. As a former military aviator, I really like that. I like it a lot. Unfortunately, in my experience, I have found that most Christians don't stay in one place long enough for God to even begin the process of cultivating their individual gifts and callings. They get in a hurry or become impatient with God, or they get offended and they leave the church and they start the cycle all over again. And they miss it because they moved away from their place of flourishing. So let's talk about gifts and callings since I brought it up. 1 Peter 4:10, New King James Version. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So right there in the Word of God, it tells us that you have, given to you by God, at least one gift. Probably more. Most people have one or more gifts, but the gift comes from God. Amen. And that's what the scripture says here. As each one has received a gift, minister that gift to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And remember, every gift that is given has a grace attached to it that helps you operate in that gift. Remember, grace is more than just God's unmerited favor. Grace is the power and the resources to do what he called you to do. Yeah. Amen. And something else about gifts and callings that you need to know. Romans 11:29, also New King James Version. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Amen. What does that mean? It means that once God gives the gift to you, he never takes it back. Whether you use it or not, that's up to you. But he gave you a gift and he will not take it back. So if he's not going to take it back, my thing is, I might as well use my gift the best that I can. Amen. I might as well operate in the gift that he planned for me even before the universe was created. Amen. So I hear people saying, what if I don't know what my gift is? How do I go about finding out what it is? Well, I can tell you it's not some heavenly game show. You've got a gift. Guess what it is? No, God wants you to know because he wants you to grow in that gift and he wants you to operate in that gift to bless other people, you know, your fellow saints, but also people in the world who can be touched by your gift. So I say, put your hand to something. If you're in a church and you see a need, and you think you can help meet that need, put your hand to something. Do something to help. If you're not sure what your gift is, or you think you know what it is, but you want to be for sure, put your hand to something. And as you do that, God will guide you closer and closer and closer to what he's called you to do. Amen? Until one day you'll be doing exactly what God has called you to do, in exactly the right place. Amen? Andrew Womack puts it like this. You can't steer a parked car. You got to get moving in a direction. Casey Treat says, you can't steer a bike until it's rolling. This is also true and illustrates the same point. You got to get going in some direction if you want refined, precise direction. Amen? So putting your hand to something, helping out in an area that may or may not be your gifting, is one way you can get your bike rolling. I want to share our testimony. When I say our, me and my lovely wife, Patricia. I've called her Trish for 41 years. We celebrate our 41st anniversary on Tuesday. We're going to Emerald Isle for a getaway. And we're going to forget about church for 3 days. Probably not, but we're going to attempt to. So this is our testimony. Trish and I have only been active in 6 churches in our 41 years of marriage. So we're not what you'd call church hoppers. 6 churches in 41 years. I didn't do the math on how many churches average, you know. Somebody do the math for me. 6.5 years average per church. All right. And even though we have known what our gifts were for the better part of those years, we have never come to a new church and announced, or we never came to a new church and announced to the pastoral staff that I was a teacher and Trish was a organizer and a creator. We never just marched in and said, I know what my gifts are. I need to be teaching. I need to be preaching next Sunday night. No, I never did that. And my wife, even though she would have to overcome urges to organize things that she was not in charge of, restrained herself from releasing her organizational gifts and her creative gifts. No, what we've done is we've come to a church because we felt like we needed to be planted in that church. We felt like that was where we were supposed to be. And we looked in that church and we found places where there was a need and we put our hand to something. We volunteered. We did whatever was needed of us. Amen. So let me just, I've wrote this down because there's so many areas I wouldn't remember them all without writing them down. We have worked in the nursery. We have worked with third graders, fifth graders. We have been junior high youth pastors. We have been senior high youth pastors. We have worked in prison ministry. We have worked as sound technicians. We have been worship leaders in 3 different churches. And we have been home group leaders. Amen. And yet in 5 out of 6 of those churches, our gifts have inevitably been recognized by the church leadership. And I've ended up teaching, and she has ended up organizing and creating. It happens if you just are willing to put your hand to something. Now, there are occasions where the pastors of a church will know you through connections, and they'll know what your gifts and callings are, okay? And they'll funnel you quicker to where you're supposed to be. But if you are not known and you need to prove yourself, say, look, whatever. Did I say nursery? Yeah. I cleaned up puke because my wife is a sympathetic puker. And I literally was cleaning up puke, and she's over in the corner going, hoop, hoop, hoop. I'm like, hold on, babe. I'm almost done. Hold on, hold on. All right, so let me sort of wrap things up with this. Told you it was going to be a short one. But significant, part of planting yourself is being there. Part of planting yourself is being there. Half the battle in the Christian life is just showing up. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. This is in the New Living Translation. I don't know if I put it in there in the New Living Translation, but I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation. I think I did New King James. Yeah, I apologize. Pay no attention to the screen up there as I read this to you. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So this tells me that the purpose of coming to church is to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Amen? To encourage one another. And back in that day, they thought Jesus was coming back in their lifetime, and this is 2,000 years ago. So how much more is the Lord coming soon in our day? So we need to do the same thing. We need to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And if we can be in church, we need to be in church. You know? It's not It's not some kind of religious obligation where you get a little star next to your name in heaven every time you go to church. That's not what we're after. That's not what God's after. God's after motivating one another to acts of love and good works. Okay? God's after this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Every time you miss church, you miss an opportunity for God to speak into your life. Or an opportunity for you to speak a word of encouragement to someone else and loose your gift on someone else. Amen? Okay? Now, I'm not preaching religion here. I'm preaching relationship. And I know missing church is unavoidable sometimes, but church attendance should not be viewed as an expendable thing. It's important to motivate one another to love and good works. Amen. To encourage one another. To hang out with people of like faith. Amen. To have a good time with the right people. You know what? There's trouble when you hang around with the wrong people, right? But there's joy and pleasure when you hang around with the right people. Amen. Hallelujah. So, coming to church is a vital part of planting yourself in the house of the Lord so you can flourish in the courts of our God. Amen? Amen.
We pray you were blessed by Pastor Scott's message. If you're in the Wilmington area and are looking for a place to worship, come join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. for coffee and fellowship, and 10:30 for worship and service. If you would like to learn more about us and hear more of Pastor Scott's teachings, visit our website at gofaithlife.com. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at Faith Life Wilmington.